Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is dismissing a letter to President Obama from Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. In the letter, Gaddafi calls Obama my son and asks him to end a, quote, unjust war. It's missives like that, as well as Gaddafi's notoriously rambling speeches and other public information, that are the prime materials for people who psychologically profile world leaders. It's called at-a-distance profiling, and governments use this information to make decisions. Our next guest does these profiles, and he describes Gaddafi as being crazy like a fox. Gerald Post is a psychiatrist who directs the political psychology program at George Washington University, and he joins us from the studio at the university. Gerald, first, this letter from Gaddafi. He writes, we have been hurt more morally than physically by the NATO-led bombing campaign, and he says he hopes Obama gets reelected. How does that fit into what you know about Gaddafi?
Well, it sounds like vintage Gaddafi. He really is a master of the rhetorical flair at times, even though he can be quite rambling under pressure. But when he says this unjust war against Libya, he's not addressing at all the conflict within Libya that led to the UN intervention. That confirms this is all against my country, my leadership. I've led this country for 42 years, and anyone who is opposing me isn't truly a Libyan in this psychology. That he plays up to Obama quite remarkable, and then calls him my son. That's sort of interesting, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure Gaddafi is encouraging him to keep up his leadership, and he can show what a fine leader he is by only responding to Gaddafi's plea to call off the A-10s and the cruise missiles.
In a piece for Foreign Policy magazine, you described Gaddafi as a borderline personality. What do you mean by that?
Well, the question has often been raised, is Gaddafi insane, psychotic? President Reagan called him the mad dog of the Middle East. And the answer to whether or not he is insane is not usually. The borderline that I refer to is the borderline of reality testing. And for the most part, Gaddafi has been above that border. He has survived in power for 42 years now, after all, and he's really quite canny, a consummate survivor. However, there are two circumstances when he slips below that border. The first is when he's succeeding, and the second is when he's failing. And that may not seem to leave very much territory.
Right.
When he's succeeding, and a good example of that would be before the UN resolution and actions, as he was marching almost unimpeded towards Benghazi, he was almost high as a kite. He was ebullient, seemed invulnerable, and at such times he can get carried away. In fact, it was the degree to which he got carried away, talking about his total ruthlessness, house-to-house searches, and would destroy all his enemies, that played a major role in precipitating the UN resolution. On the other hand, when he's failing, and at any time when he is under major stress, he can go into this posture of the underdog hero standing tall against superior forces. When he said, for example, I will fight to the last drop of my blood, he means that.
How much do you have to take into account for political rhetoric sometimes in speeches that, you know, leaders sometimes use hyperbole to sort of motivate folks? And don't you have to consider that when you're trying to make a psychological profile of somebody like a Gaddafi?
Of course. One always must locate accurately that leader in his political, historical, and cultural context. But one of the things I was struck by in that March 23rd speech was I think he was trying in some ways to emulate Churchill. The beginning of this speech was very powerful, and he spoke at the end about no matter how long it takes, whether it is short or long, we will achieve victory. Very Churchillian. However, in the middle of the speech, and for most of the speech, it was very first-person singular. I am here. I am here. My people all love me. My people will protect me. It was very Gaddafi-centric. And that says to me that he is really, in many ways, so imbued with himself that he can't conceive of the pain and suffering of others.
Now, that's looking at his speeches. What about when you look at his background? I guess he was born in a Bedouin tent, and then he was teased an awful lot when he was sent to school in Tripoli because his manners were so bad when he was a child. Do those factors also figure in, and how much do you weigh those with some of his political speeches?
This underdog psychology has been characteristic of Gaddafi since his earliest years. He was a very bright boy, did very well in the Islamic school, and was sent to Tripoli for education. And there, the sons of the elites teased him mercilessly for not fitting in, for his odd Bedouin manners. And this became a really core part of his emerging identity, the underdog who's not going to take this anymore. And part of his support for Terrorists International, wherever they were, many of the causes he supported, there was no particular value politically to Libya. But if it was a terrorist group that was striking out against imperialism, he was there to support it.
So do you think then, based on what you know about Gaddafi as a person and his personality, does it appear that the right strategy is being used in Libya?
One of the things I'm quite struck by is what started off as a rivulet of defectors and is now becoming more of a river. To me, if my conclusion is accurate, that he will go down literally to the last drop of his blood. The real question is how to peel his supporters away from him. And apparently, major efforts are being made through military and diplomatic contacts to induce people to defect. The issue is not with the Libyan people and all of those around him. The issue is very much with Gaddafi and his family.
We're speaking with psychiatrist Gerald Post about psychologically profiling world leaders. Dr. Post is director of the political psychology program at George Washington University. In his two decades with the CIA, he created the department that came up with psychological profiles of people like Menachem Begin, Anwar Sadat, and Saddam Hussein. And Gerald, what about sons who succeed powerful fathers? There's Kim Jong-il of North Korea, himself the son of a powerful father. In the Middle East, there's Bashar Assad in Syria, King Abdullah of Jordan. What conclusions do you draw from powerful political families like those?
Well, it's very hard to step in the shoes of a very powerful father. What is particularly daunting is being the son of God. And this indeed was the case with Kim Jong-il. His father had almost a godlike stature, and he's always under the shadow of his father, and there's reason to believe he's quite insecure about his political stature, the way people feel about him, and indeed about his physical stature. When he kidnapped South Korea's most prominent actress, she recalls in her memoir that his first words to her were, "Well, Madam Chun-Wei, you must be surprised to see I resemble the droppings of a midget." But unlike the Middle East, North Korea really is closed off electronically and has a very tight information blanket upon it. This, to me, is one of the most profound aspects of what is happening. Part of the communication revolution has just been profound. I would think that the leadership in Iran must be quaking, for there's a country which is extremely wired, and some 70% of Iran is under the age of 30 and very much wanting to join the West.
What about Iranian leader Mahmoud Ahmadinejad? I mean, I'm sure there must be some psychological profiling that's been done of him. What do you come up with there?
I find him a fascinating individual. And I think here it's very important to understand his faith. The so-called Twelver sect of Shia Islam, most religious fundamentalists, and we have this in all of the major faiths, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, are so-called quietists, waiting for the Messiah to arrive. There are a group of religious belligerents, activists who believe by an act of piety they can force the end. There's good reason to believe that Ahmadinejad is an activist twelver. So I don't think he is really deterrable.
So is Gaddafi deterrable, do you think?
Well, with Gaddafi, I mean, the three questions have been asked. Can he be induced to leave his country, go off to some plush exile? I think the answer is clearly no to that. Will he commit suicide? The answer is no to that. Can he be induced to give up in some fashion? I believe only if a small group of his inner circle were to say to him, the game is up, we have to stop. But I think short of that, he will fight to the last drop of his blood, disregarding how many drops of other people's blood he spills.
Gerald Post is a psychiatrist who directs the political psychology program at George Washington University. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
My great pleasure.